Romans, please, chapter 14. And in your Schofield Reference Bible, page 1208. 1208. Beginning with verse 7, we'll read responsively through verse 12. Text verse is the 10th verse. We'll turn to another verse of Scripture after we read this. Let's stand, please, all of us standing for the reading of the Word of God. Reading responsibly now, 7 through 12. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Turn now to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Page 1233 in your Schofield Bible. Reading verse 10. Verse 10 only. We'll read it together. And let's read. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. And let's pray. Father, we have a wonderful opportunity tonight. There's no gathering in the world like this gathering. There's no place in the world quite like this place. And we're thankful for our church. Now our opportunity is this, that we would hear from Thee through the man of God. How privileged we are to have one who walks with Thee and who gets from Thee that which we need. And of course, we need what we are going to hear tonight. Help us to realize we need it. Help us to realize that this, our opportunity, can easily slip by us if we let our minds wander or if we're not engrossed in the sermon as we should be. Please help us. Meet with us, O Holy Spirit, in Thy power, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Open your Bibles, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I want to read for you, as you follow me, a few verses and say a word or two about them, and then we'll have a prayer and I'll bring the message tonight on the subject of misunderstood judgment seat of Christ. Let me, before I read, explain what the judgment seat is. When Jesus comes again for His own, that is an imminent, signless and dateless event, could take place any time. You and I, be called up to meet the Lord in the air. And while we're there for 7 years, we will appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That judgment seat is like the old bema. In fact, that's the word that's used, the bema of Christ. Bible days, when the winners of the Olympic Games would receive their medals. The winners would stand up and they would receive their medals and the garlands around their necks and their honors for having won. Now, nobody was punished for having lost. They only gave the awards to those who had won. First or second or third place, and so forth. Now, you and I are going to one day stand at the judgment seat of Christ. We'll not be there to determine whether or not we're saved or lost. You determine that whether you trusted Christ or not. We'll not be there to be judged for our sins. Whoever told you they're going to have a movie and show you all the things you ever done, had a hole in his head big enough to drive a truck through. Our sins were nailed to the cross. And our sins were paid for in full as far as our eternal standing before God is concerned. That does not mean that we'll not suffer on earth for our sins. It simply means there'd be no eternal punishment for our sins whatsoever. That'll take place after the rapture in the air. Now, it talks about that in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11. Further foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, watch it carefully. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work, now notice that, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Now listen carefully. That means what kind of work it is. Doesn't mean why the work was done. It means what kind of work it is. So, and then it says in verse 14, if any man's work abide, which he built thereon, he shall receive reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Father, bless my message tonight to our saved hearts and souls. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me talk to you tonight about the misunderstood and mistaken judgment seat of Christ. Now, I'm not going to talk to you tonight about the fact that some people think of the judgment seat, there's a general judgment, and that folks who are saved will be, you'll have a book there of all your works, and if there are more good works than bad works, you go to heaven, more bad works than good works, you go to hell. That's heresy, but I'm not going to talk about that tonight. I assume that you know that already. You don't go to heaven because you do good works. You don't go to hell because you do bad works. You go to heaven because you trust the Savior, and go to hell because you don't trust the Savior. Now, I've preached it, and others have preached it. I've heard it preached. But what I'm going to say now just isn't so. Here's what we preached. And this young man, I preached this. If we win a soul for Christ or do some good work for Christ, for the glory of God, we will receive rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. But if we do our works or win a soul and do not do it for the glory of God, then that work shall be burned, and we will not receive reward. Now, would somebody tell me where that's taught in the Bible? I understand that it's taught in the Bible that if you do things to be seen of men, that you will not receive rewards here, and God won't bless it here. And God will not like the reaping and the sowing on earth. I understand that. But when it talks about the judgment seat of Christ, ladies and gentlemen, it never mentions motives whatsoever. It mentions what kind of works. Let me give you an example. I was driving down Holman Avenue the other day at Church's Row. We have intercepted a little of that, though. We've improved it some. I was driving down Holman Avenue the other day, and I saw these signs on what they call churches on Holman Avenue. Two of them had bingo parties. Now, that work will be burned at the judgment seat of Christ. If a saved person goes to the judgment seat of Christ, his church work in planning a bingo party, which is nothing more than illegal gambling, just like the lottery and just like the casinos, it's our government breaking its own laws. That's what it is, but I won't go into that. I'll never forget that night we had some politicians sitting over here, and a bunch of them running for office. And I said, fellas, is gambling against the law? Yeah, it is. I said, won't you arrest the folks across the street then? They're gambling in the basement of the Catholic Church. That's against the law. I asked the chief of police in the area here, why don't you raid that? He said, I'd get in trouble. Chief of police getting in trouble? Yeah, he would. Because he himself had probably been bingoing a little bit himself. But I saw a sign, and you got me off the subject. I saw a sign there that said bingo. Now, if anybody is saved and plans a bingo party, that is a work that shall be unrewarded. It's the kind that will be burned. I saw a sign that said dance. Now, if anybody goes to that dance who's saved, or anybody plans that dance who's saved, that's church work, but It'll be burned. That's what it talks about. Any man's work shall be burned. Of what sort it is. What kind of work it is. Not why you did it, but what kind of work it is. I saw one sign that said, a rummage sale. All the folks think they're doing church work there. If they're saved, that will be burned. They'll not receive the rewards at the judgment seat. Or let's go a step further. Book reviews. A pastor preaches book reviews, unless it's a review of this book right here. That'll be burned at the judgment seat. I came here years ago, 38 years ago this August, and after I'd been here a few months, I went over to the church kitchen, and there was a lady coming out there, had mashed potatoes all over her hands. She looked at me and she said, "You've ruined my life." Remember this church? I was brand new here. She said, "You've ruined my life." And I said, "Well, what are you talking about?" She said, "You've ruined my life." I said, "Why?" She said, "You come along here and said, if we're not soul winners, we're not right with God." She said, "I want you to know I've served God in this kitchen for 20 years. I said, "Ma'am, the Bible doesn't say going to all the world mashed potatoes. It says going to all the world spread the gospel," you see. Now, that little lady mashed potatoes, and I thank God, folks, at mashed potatoes. I'm certainly for mashed potatoes. Especially if they got gravy on top of them. And especially if that gravy's got some sausage mixed in with it a little bit. I'm going to preach the Bible whether you like it or not. But I want to tell you something. You'll not get rewarded at the judgment seat for mashing potatoes. Unless it's for soul winning night so the soul winners can go out. Mr. Heibel's over here on the other side of Chicago that went throughout the neighborhood. He's going to start a church. Start what he calls a church. Asking folks what they want in the church. Now, that kind of work shall be burned. The Bible does not say why you do it determines whether your work is burned at the judgment seat. It says what you do is determined. Let me tell you, for example, what will be rewarded at the judgment seat. And this is Scripture. A cup of cold water in Jesus' name. Visiting the sick. Visiting those in prison. Bible says that. Jesus said, "You've done it to the least of these, you've done it to me." And feeding the hungry. That is a good work that will be rewarded at the judgment seat of Christ. Clothing the poor. James 1 says, visiting the orphans and the afflicted widows is a good work that shall be rewarded. Lifting the fallen. Going to highways and hedges and streets and lanes and inviting folks to go to heaven. All of those things are works that will stand the test of the fire of the judgment seat. And all of those things are gold and silver and precious stone. Church rummages are wood, hay, and stubble. Church dances are wood, hay, and stubble. All of the bingo parties are wood, hay, and stubble. But soul winning is gold, silver, and precious stone. Running a bus route is gold, silver, and precious stone. Feeding hungry bodies is gold, silver, and precious stone. Clothing cold people is gold, silver, and precious stone. Working to lift some people out of the ghettos and teach them how to serve God, that's gold, silver, and precious stone. Now, let me look at the Bible for a minute. Listen to me. 1 Timothy 5:10. It speaks about those well reported of for good works. Now, it sounds like to me that it's not bad to be reported of for good works. The Bible commends people, some people here, a group, who are well reported of good works. Again, in 1 Timothy 2:10, adorned with good works. Now, I'm adorned tonight with this suit and this tie. That's why I look so cute tonight. This is what I wear. The Bible says, wear good works. Let me give you another example. Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men. Now that should not be the motive of letting your light shine. But the Bible says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I know people are so busy, they're so afraid they're going to do something not for God's glory. They don't do anything. I'd rather do something not for God's glory than do nothing for God's glory. And a person that's fed because you want to get a reward in heaven someday for it is just as fed.
And a person gets saved because you want to get a reward in heaven for it is just as saved. And there's nothing wrong with you getting people saved because you're going to want to get a reward in heaven for it. Jesus uses the incentive method. Come unto me, all you that labor, and I will give you rest. I'll give you something. Every once in a while, so much of Pharisees say, all those old fundamental bus run in churches, instead of giving those little kids hot dogs to come to church, that's bribing them. You're as backslidden as Judas Iscariot. In the first place, most of the bus kids don't have any hot dogs very often, and that Jesus himself uses the incentive method. Come to me and I'll give you rest. He says, you come to me, I'll give you a home in heaven. That's better than a hot dog. Don't get me on this now. I'm a little sick and tired of a bunch of non-soul-winning, deeper-lifers, non-altar-call churches criticizing old-fashioned churches because they give a kid a piece of bubble gum to get on the bus and come to church. Well, okay. If you don't give them bubble gum or a hot dog, give them something else. But what you do? Start your bus route like you want. Listen to me now. Start your bus route like you want to run one. Hello, sonny boy. You're a nice little fella. We are running a bus route here. We want you to come for the glory of God. We will praise the Lord in the beauty of His holiness. That kid will scratch his head and say, you're some kind of a nut. And I'll say, amen. God Himself uses the incentive method in practically every invitation He gives in the Bible. He says, go to the highways and hedges and invite them to come in and praise the Lord together. He said, invite them to come in for a feast. For a feast. Now, let me give you 1 Peter 2:12. That they may, by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God. By your good works, that they shall behold. Now, I don't think you ought to ever do anything to be seen of men, but don't think you ought to ever do anything not to be seen of men either. Just get busy for God. Somebody sees you, okay. But quit being so pious. Well, I've got to be very, very careful. I'll sing this solo for my own glory. Well, what you're doing is you're singing the solo for your own glory, for your own glory. You're singing it for God's glory, for your own glory. Forget why you do it and sing it. Boy, this is good. Titus 2:7 says, be a pattern of good works. A pattern. Revelation 2:23, I will give unto every one of you according to your works. Doesn't say according to your motives. Says, according to your works. Ephesians 2:8-9, for my grace is saved through faith, and 8 through 10. And that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Doesn't say unto good works for His glory. It says good works. And I want you to know something. I've got more respect for a bus captain gets out here on a Saturday and goes up and down these streets in the snow and in the rain and in cold and in the heat and spends 8 hours knocking on doors and trying to give little kids a little hot dog if they come to church on Sunday, or Brother Moffat swallows a goldfish. Not Brother Hiles, Brother Moffat. The whole world go to hell for I swallow a goldfish. But some of you pious prudes spend your Saturday afternoon watching a basketball game criticizing somebody because they're having wrong methods. I read some of these interdenominational universities, articles in their papers criticizing churches while they let the world go to hell. Let me tell you something, brother. Get busy for God. Get busy working for God. And forget why you do it. You say, you preaching for your own glory tonight? I don't know. I haven't thought about it. You preaching for God's glory? I don't know. I hadn't entered my mind. I'm just preaching the truth. That's all I'm doing. God says he'll reward you at the judgment seat according to your works. Of what sort? Of what kind? Not what motive, what kind of work? Romans 14:10. We must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Get this now. That every man may receive the thing done in his body. Not his mind. Not his heart. In his body. According to that which ye have done, whether it be good or bad. Now that means the judgment seat, you get rewarded for good works, and you don't get rewarded for bad works, but it's not why you did it, it's what work you did that determines the reward. Well, how about Jesus said to the Pharisees? He said, you fellows have your reward. He wasn't talking to saved people, talking about your unconverted hypocrites. Sick, and ye visited me. Doesn't say why. Hungry, Jesus said, and ye fed me. Doesn't say why. Thirsty, and ye gave me drink. Doesn't say why. Look, folks, if you want to give me a steak dinner, I won't ask you why. How about selfish works? Now listen carefully to me. How about selfish works? There are no other kind. When you sang a while ago, there was some degree of selfishness. I could see it. In fact, I've never seen so much selfishness in one song in my life. I'll say it again. The greatest soul winner in this room, there is a degree of selfishness in your soul winning. And the most generous person in this room, there is a degree of selfishness in your giving. Well, you sit with the house. I don't want any praise for it. No, but you want that good feeling. Isaiah 64:6 says that our righteousness, and that means good works, is like filthy rags. Didn't say our sins like filthy rags. Didn't say our wickedness is like filthy rags. It says our righteousness. There, listen. If we don't get any rewards at the judgment seat except for works that are done totally unselfishly, there will not be one single crown passed out the judgment seat. For there is no untainted service we do for God. It's all filthy rags. Observations. Listen carefully now. I want to exhort you. Go to work and do every work possible. And don't even think while you're doing it. I've heard people stand up across the country sing a solo. Well, I just want to give God the glory. No, you don't, Buster. You want to get the glory for giving God the glory. I got you all pegged, you dirty soloist. God have mercy on you. Now listen, sanctified Pharisee, sit down and shut up. Your very sanctimonious attitude, you're proud of it. And there is no untainted work done for God. So get busy. Don't figure out whether it's for your glory or his or anybody else. Just get busy. Trying to do it right, that guarantees you're doing it wrongly. The illustration. A lady said to me, Brother Hiles, I want to be a good wife. I'm sorry, but that is not a good reason. Nobody, no lady in this room ought to want to be a good wife. That's selfish. You forget yourself and you want your husband to have his needs supplied. Whether you are a good wife or not is not the issue. Does your husband have his needs supplied? And a lot of you wives tonight ought to come right down here to this altar and get on your knees and quit thinking about yourself and ask yourself, am I supplying the needs of my husband? But you're so wrapped up in wanting to be a model wife that you're not going to be a good wife. It doesn't matter what kind of wife you are. Is your husband, does your husband have his needs supplied? You listen to me. A fellow said to me in my office, Brother Hiles, could you help me? I have a desire to be a great pastor or a good pastor. I said, you'll never be one. I never think about it. I never think about whether I'm a good pastor or not. If I ever did, I think I'd be sure I was. But that's not a part. I'm not trying to be a good pastor. I'm trying to meet your needs. My job is not that I'll be a good pastor. My job is to be sure my people are cared for. Somebody said, Brother Howard, I'd like to be a good Christian. You'll never be one then. Ladies and gentlemen, forget all about whether you're being a good Christian or a bad Christian and just get busy serving our God and serving somebody else. I'm sick and tired of all this sanctimonious pious platitude preaching going on around America, criticizing old-fashioned soul-winning churches that are obeying the Great Commission of God and saying they're doing it for man. First place, you don't know why we're doing it. You can't read anybody's mind. You're simply saying, that's why I'd do it if I did it. But it doesn't matter. Get busy and feed the poor and clothe the naked and win the lost and lift the fallen and get busy doing good works for God and forget what you're going to be. Well, I'd like to be a great preacher, not me. I don't know if I'm a great preacher or not. I know I'm cute. I ain't got the foggiest idea if I'm a great preacher. Don't care. I never have in all my ministry asked God to make me a great preacher. Nor have I ever asked God to help me preach a great sermon. I've asked God on my knees again and again to help me be what you need. To help me feed you from that book. To help me encourage you and strengthen you and comfort you and build you up in the faith. That's my job. My job is not being a good preacher. My job is feeding you and helping you and pastoring you and serving you. The best. Somebody says, I want to be a good school teacher. You see what I'm trying to say? What you're doing is, what you are is more important than those teachers, those students learning. Whether you're a good school teacher or not, that's not the issue. Do you help prepare your pupils for life? Hear me carefully. What they are is more important than what you are. Building caught on fire across the alley a few years ago. Not one single fireman wondered if he was a good fireman. No fireman walked up and said, pray for me that I'll be a good fireman. I want to stand just right. Nobody did that. They lost themselves in putting out the fire. You lose yourself in serving God. You lose yourself. Don't even consider why you're doing it, because the very consideration itself is wrong. So the judgment seat of Christ is not a place where God's going to judge your motives. If He did judge your motives, you wouldn't get one little crown. Not one. Brother Scopes, Vice President of Hiles Anderson College. He doesn't do everything he does out there to the glory of God. He does a lot of things out there to the glory of Scott. You say, that shocks me. Well, if you'll pinch yourself, you'll find your flesh too. There are times you preach out there at chapel, and while you're preaching, you say to yourself, I got it today, boy. You're as sorry as she is. And don't you tell me, Mr. Pharisee. And while you were singing to your family a while ago, you didn't say sometime in there, I'm in good voice tonight. Don't you laugh. Every stinking one of you said, boy, I look cute tonight in this outfit. Who you want next? Point to him. Johnny Colston. With his pious manner at the bedside. So gentle and so kind and so suave. And then he prays that beautiful prayer. I can preach a sermon between sentences. But he leaves that place and says, that was a good prayer. And I tell you, I comforted them real well. Who you want next? Okay, you want me. That's who you want. And I'd lie to you if I didn't say, I've got a sermon I preach on Sunday's coming. It is a corker. Man, I get right in the middle of that sermon, I say to myself, this must be R.G. Lee. You say, is that the way you feel sometimes? Yeah, and so do you. And sometimes I get through preaching and I wonder if I'll ever preach again. I'm like that old preacher went home, wouldn't eat. His wife said, what's wrong? Why don't you eat? He said, because I can't preach and I don't know anybody that can. And every preacher here has been right there. A while ago when you were playing that, mine eyes, was that the night? Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. She said to herself, my fingers are doing the best job tonight they've done in a long time. Don't look at me with that pious look. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it's impossible for us to commit a perfectly unselfish work for God. It is impossible for us to perform a work that is totally void of selfishness. For even our righteous acts are like filthy rags. And that's why God said, I may not give you as big a church as you could have had on earth if you don't clean up your act a little bit. I may not let you build as big a Sunday school class. When it comes to the judgment seat, God said, I'm going to reward you according to your works, what sort they are. So the thing for us to do is just forget why we do it and get busy doing it. I don't know whether I preached a good sermon tonight or not. It's always a joy when Roy Moffitt's gone to have a substitute for him. But that doesn't matter. Have I called somebody tonight to work a bus route? That's what matters. Have I called somebody tonight to feed somebody that's hungry? That's what matters. Have I called somebody tonight to buy a coat for someone in July for this area? That's what matters. Have I called somebody to build a bus route? Have I called somebody to take care of the poor? Have I called somebody to get to work for God? That's all that matters. Doesn't matter if I'm a good preacher or not. Have I lifted you? Have I encouraged you? You go home tonight more cheerful than you were when you came this morning. That's all that matters. It doesn't matter whether I'm a good husband or not. It just matters how I treat her. It doesn't matter whether I'm a good pastor or not. It just matters if you are cared for like you ought to be cared for. It doesn't matter whether Brother Ed Lapina is a good youth director or not. It just matters whether he turns out the right kind of young people or not. And one day we'll stand at the judgment seat. Here's the way you think it is. Here's a guy that's worked 8 hours a Saturday on his bus route. Gotten up 4 o'clock on Sunday morning. And run his bus route. Took the kids home. Got home. Didn't get to eat any lunch. Maybe he went back and brought some more on Sunday night. But once in a while he pretty proud of himself. Now the way you think it is he'll get no rewards. But here's that guy that did one work. One work. I mean, he parked a bus one time in 1938. But he said, "This is for the glory of God." They always say God. "This is the glory of our great God." And you think, boy, at the judgment seat, don't you tell me for a single moment that that guy that had a tinge of selfishness, even though he had it, he got up and spent all day long in the snow and the rain and drizzling rain on a bus route. Don't you tell me he's going to get less reward at the judgment seat. So that all he did for the glory of God was to carry the flag on Memorial Day. But it's for the glory of God. Shoot. I mean, amen. And then shoot. You give me a bunch of Christian people that just go to work. You give me a bunch of wives that all they want to do is have their husband's needs satisfied. And a bunch of husbands, all they want to do is have their wives' needs satisfied. And a bunch of children, that all they want to do is have their parents happy. And a pastor, that all he wants to do is have his people cared for. And a preacher, that all he wants to do is have his people fed. And a principal, that all he wants to do is turn out a bunch of good kids. And a youth director, all he wants to do is turn out a bunch of good kids. And when he stands before God, if he's given his best. And by the way, you ought to be so busy doing good works, you haven't got a reason to figure out why you're doing them. But we say, well, if you did it with any selfishness in mind, you won't get any rewards. Well, I'll tell you what, when the judgment seat's over, that barn's going to be full of crowns that are not passed out. Because you're not going to get one, and I'm not going to get one. For even our righteousness is like filthy rags in the sight of God. So get busy. Get busy! Get busy! Doing the work, kind of work that God calls good works. Get busy feeding the hungry. Get busy giving a cup of cold water in His name. Get busy clothing people who are cold. Get busy lifting the fallen. Get busy on a bus route. Get busy going to the highways and hedges and the streets and the lanes of the city and inviting folks to come to the feast that Jesus has prepared for them. And let God decide what the rewards ought to be. Would you bow your heads, please?